Good evening. So, we left off last time talking about what takes... Remember the Yellow Brick Road we discussed last time?
Yes.
The Yellow Brick Road. If you stay on that, you stay on that road, you will get to the big party upstairs. And the challenge is to get onto that Yellow Brick Road. And if you're on that road, not to get distracted, not to lose your place, not to lose... focus. So we mentioned last time, the first thing that can make us lose focus on having that self-purpose is being overly busy in life. Being consumed with life that you're so busy, you're so overwhelmed with all kinds of things that you don't make time for Hashem and you don't make time for Torah. So that's the first thing. Which is tirdah, being really, really busy, which blocks a person from doing what they're supposed to do. Tonight, we're going to do number two. And number two is increasing difficulty and increasing things that blind us. We're in the beginning of the fifth parak again. So, achasheni hu kasha ma'id. The second thing which takes us away, which undermines us from being zahir, from being vigilant in serving Hashem, who aschaik v'halatzin, which is levity and mockery. Now, one thing is very important. One of the most important character traits that Jews have to have is to be happy. Being happy is the oxygen. In fact, Rabbi Aaron Mikarlin once said, there's no avera in the Torah to be sad, but there's nothing that causes sins as being a sad person. And there's no mitzvah to be happy, but there's nothing that enables a person to be successful in Torah but happiness. Happiness is huge. It's fantastic. And one should be happy. It's a prerequisite for getting the divine spirit to be constantly happy. We should all strive to be consistently happy. Do not conflate happiness with being a jokester. Most times jokesters aren't happy, actually. What jokesters is to take a person out of a person. People are happy. I look at myself as imperfect, but generally happy. I'm usually a happy person. It bothers me when I'm not happy. I really, to be frank, if I'm not happy, I feel like I wouldn't be so harsh to say sinning, but I'm feeling something's off. That everyone has bad days. At 7 o'clock, Yossi Solov is going to see his mother's on her very, very critically ill. So he just took a red eye tonight. So I was talking to him. His mother's 94 years old, but she's, which is quite ill. So the point is, as you just experienced, there are days where eighth livkois. You're supposed to cry. There are days which are tough. But our general default, our general demeanor, our general attitude should be freilich. You know what freilich is?
Happy.
Happy, like freilich and Purim. Like happy, happy Purim. We're supposed to be freilich, happy, jovial. Even with a little bounce in our step. That is not being a person of levity, a person who doesn't take things serious, which will embellish about how bad that could be in taking us away from serving Hashem briefly. Kimit shetovei abam. If everything in life is a joke and nothing is serious, I usually, when I think about this, I think about college kids. Everything, there's nothing that really matters. There's nothing serious in life. Everything, I'm not talking about Asian college kids. I'm talking about the spoiled kids, from whatever neighborhood who feel like things seriously. Everything's a joke. Nothing really matters. Chill out, relax, make a joke. If anyone gets serious, you make fun of it. Don't be so, just like a serious thing would be like marriage. When you talk to someone in college or dating, I'm not talking about from people. The farthest thing in their mind is marriage. That's too serious. That's like too much commitment, too much reality to that. So kimisha tovei abam. If you're living and swallowed up in mockery and joking, you're tovea b'yam hagal. It's like you're drowning in a great sea. Shekasha me'oid lehimalit minero. It's very hard to get out of this. Very difficult to for a person to pull themselves out of a lifestyle where everything is not serious, where everything is party hardy, la di da, you know, etc. When you look at being a jokester, having levity, it literally, you lose your heart, right? You lose your sense of, actually, some of the French guys were telling me a while back that, you know, one of the challenges, when you're in France, like they play cards together, and the Sephardim are very traditional, but there's a certain level where the minute you cross that level, what are you doing? You know, this is not how it goes. This is, you know, everything. It becomes like a joke. You can't cross. There's like a glass ceiling of observance. And because you can't be so serious about that. That's the other side. That's not, you know. Think about it, the high tech companies. You know, you make people nervous if you're too pious, too religious. You know, get out of here, relax, chill out. You gotta dress casual. The minute someone dresses formal, makes people uncomfortable. Right? Nothing to do against dressing casual per se, but there's something about everything being fun, everything being groovy. Ever hear the word groovy? Right, groovy. You ever hear that word, Mrs. Sokolowski?
What? You're a little too young to remember groovy. It's a compliment.
I'm not sure what you're referring to. I know what you're referring to, but I'm speaking to you.
I remember groovy.
Yes. So everything is groovy. Everything has to be groovy. So at the end of the day, right? You don't take anything seriously. Right? Because levity, joking, you don't. You know, if everything is fun, then nothing is important. If everything is fun. I go back to these college kids. Like, you know, when I dated, it was for marriage. I remember I dated a girl, not my wife. She told me my wife's a few years older, but she was actually my age. And she was, when I dated her, she was taking, she was in grad school for, like occupational therapy or physical therapy, something like one of these things. And she told me that this other girl got engaged. And like they said to they were like a lot of, this is in New York, the girl was from Long Island, and there were a lot of Jewish girls in her class. And there were a lot of Gentiles. And they all said to this girl who's 23 years old, you're very lucky. And she said that most girls in this class were 27, 28, 29, 30, 31. They're older girls. I said, you're very lucky because we can never date someone who'd want to marry us. Like, seriously. Like, everyone we date, you don't know, they're not really looking for marriage, you know? They're not looking for marriage, not looking for kids. It's like, you know, because there's no commitment over there. I mean, that's serious. That's like, you know, when you're, that's what she was 23. I'm talking about when I was 23, if I dated a girl, it was for marriage. You take a college kid and say, I have a girl for you. She's very nice. She's sweet, she's attractive, you want to marry her. You take your time. You want it in a month, 2 months, 3 months, 4 months. I was married within a few months of being a wife. I think 4.5 months later, from the day I met her to the day I met the host, 4.5 months. 4.5 months, you can take a year. How many volunteers in a liberal college would you get? None. No way. You know why? Because it's too serious. Things are everything. Nothing really, you know. Nothing really, really matters. Everything's a little bit like you got lights. You know, light. So it's not just you see. We think of joking around. It's not just everything's a joke. It's taking life as a joke. You laugh off life. You laugh off responsibility. You laugh off purpose. You laugh off, you know. Sometimes, you know, again, like many here, I deal with, I had I mean, I'm having lunch tomorrow with Bruno Zerbib, so he's an easy guy. But if I tell you I had lunch with him earlier this week, I like lunch with these guys who are so far. I can't even tell you how far off these people are. Right? You know, guys, I'm telling you, one's intermarried, nice guy. Another is not all observant. Nice people. But like you talk about like, serious things, like politics, blah, 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 blah. You know, turn around, all of a sudden they get into joke mood. Everything's like, you know, all of a sudden it's joke, and they're nice people, by the way. And they're everything's joke mood all of a sudden. It's like, come on, you know, but you can corner them, and yeah, because it's a demeanor. You know what demeanor is, Mrs. Stolen? It's not a Russian word. It's an attitude. There you go, an attitude. It's a demeanor. That's a demeanor. Right? It's a demeanor. It's how you live life. Is life a joke? Is life only about having fun? You know, is life about, you know, life is, you know, as actually I mentioned on Shabbos that the Megillah, that the laws of the whole Shulchan Aruch ends, the laws of Megillah's Purim, and it ends with a verse from Mishlei. Kol yamei ani rayim, the Torah of life, Mishlei Tamei, from Proverbs. All the days of a poor person are bad or bitter. And somebody has a good heart. If you're poor, if you look at life negatively, every day is bad. Why this? Why this? Why me? How come? But and you have a good heart. Nishtatame, life is a party, not just on Purim. And of course, I explained it, which is why it's in Purim. When you have meaning in your life, that's why I spoke about on Shabbos. When you have meaning in your life and you see Hashem in your life, life is a party, right? When you have meaning and you see Hashem in your life, then it's a party. It should be a party life. It's your party because you have meaning, and there is purpose, and there is focus. But when everything is, all you're looking for is a party, then you're going to be very disappointed in life. You'll laugh it off, and you'll look for it. I mean, we live, I'm not joking, I mean, I have to tell you, we live in a drug generation over here. I mean, if people are either on illegal narcotics, or anyone who takes marijuana is a loser. It's a loser. What do you want to take marijuana for? Because you're not happy. I'm not saying they're a bad person. It's part of culture. It means you can't internally be happy if they get on a drug to make you happy. You know, I need to chill. And this guy tells me one time, I need to chill. Do you ever have chill? It's after groovy, by the way. All right.
Way after groovy.
Yeah. I need to chill. And I need to relax. I need to, you know, I mean, I feel bad for such people. I mean, it means in day life, in your own life, without a narcotic, you can't chill. Without a narcotic, you can't be happy. You can't relax. That's terrible. Besides the fact that it destroys your brain, right? And that makes you sleepy and everything else. And who also knows what other negative effects it has on you, right? And then you have a huge population on anxiety, medication, depression. I mean, you name it. Sometimes it goes to physiology. There's people's... But chemistry, but you know, at the end of the day, if you have purpose, you have meaning, you have purpose. But people want make life a joke, and they think if their life is a joke, they'll be happy. It's the complete opposite. Not only is it the complete opposite, which we're not doing now, it brings you away from Hashem. Because if there is nothing serious, there is no meaning. If there is nothing serious, there is no meaning. If nothing makes a difference, then you know, there is no meaning and there's no true happiness. But also, which we're focusing on right now, it breaks your connection to Hashem. Shekvar ein tam v'das mashal espo. You can't reason with a person because nothing really makes a difference. You don't want to hear serious stuff. At some level, a person who everything in their demeanor, their Weltanschauung, their worldview is that nothing's really important. Right? Nothing's really serious. They are like a drunk person. You ever try to reason with a drunk person? Ever try to reason with a drunk person? Never? Come to me in Purim. I won't be drunk.
Well, last year you told me the one regret you had about Purim is you weren't drunk enough.
That's true.
That's what you told me.
Yeah, it's true.
You have to work on it this year.
It was true. I don't drink the whole year. The only time I ever take, you know, but Purim is a discussion. That's your one with Hashem. That's really Purim. Be one with Hashem. There's no... That's a different discussion. Right now we're doing about being drunk in general life is a considered big gnai, a real big negative. Right? A big negative, actually. Chazal really hit alcoholism, right? As a general rule. You're drunk, you know, when you try to reason someone drunk, it's a big negative. You can't, there's nothing, you can't, even a husband and wife in halacha, you can't bond when someone's drunk, right? Because there's no connection. You're not dealing with a fully person with a full deck of cards, right? When we deal with those deck of cards, you can't take life seriously. You can't drive, you can't drink and drive, and you can't drive the road of life. A person who's drunk and high, you can't, there's nothing really valuable, and there's nothing really serious. You talk to a person who's drunk about your children, the kids are misbehaving, okay. I talk about marriage, okay, right. You talk about God, okay, there's nothing serious. Somebody's drunk, so you could be physically drunk, or you could be drunk with everything is not serious. That's all. It's a narcotic. It's a narcotic at some level, which makes a person feel, okay, I'm okay. This is okay. Everything's okay. Whatever I'm doing is okay because nothing really matters. That's fine. I'm fine. Everything's fine. Actually, you can't. It's impossible to help a person. You ever have a person on a job and they don't take it seriously? You hire someone who doesn't take the job seriously? Why not? You've had such people?
No.
Could you imagine such a person? You've dealt with caterers who don't take things seriously?
No.
People?
Never dealt with a caterer who didn't take it seriously.
But you could imagine such a thing.
I can imagine people not taking it seriously.
And could you get things done correctly if they take a job seriously?
Of course not.
Right. I mean, could you? If
everyone has an off day, but that's not what
no,
you're talking about in general.
Right? You can't help people if you don't take things seriously. If it's not taken serious, you can't help such people. Ki in a makabel hanaga, they don't accept guidance. Who masha amar shalom alecha shalom l'schayk amarti mahoilal. I said, being a person of constant levelly, it's craziness. And now he's not talking about simcha, which is, it means unbridled joy without any boundaries. What do you get from it at the end of the day? You're not, if all life, I deal less today with very young college age. When I used to deal with them, there are certain people who want to just go from party to party. Right, it's like all life is from party to party to party to party. And, at the end of the day, they don't feel good about themselves. It's not a good feeling. There's a deep emptiness to that existence. I'm not telling you it's not scintillating. It's not an aspect of fun. But in moments of truth, all you're living for is a moment which can't project further, right? There's nothing. So if everything is not serious, what are you doing? What are you accomplishing? Now, I mentioned this story. This is true. I'll repeat this. When I was in Philadelphia, so I had for a while, I taught for the Eshet Torah over there. And you would see these ladies, this is a ladies' class, I'll mention this, who would come. They were in the late 30s, early 40s. They were working downtown in investment banking as lawyers. Most of them grew up conservative. Some of them were reform, and they would come to Eshet Torah, and they were always single. These ladies were, and they would start, coming and eating people's house on Shabbos, Friday night, and like all of a sudden, usually you're observant, and then you want to get. They would be like, their first thought was, "I'm gonna get married." I gotta have kids. Their biological clocks had been ticking for a while, if not close to. And what happened to these people? Like, 6 months ago, they were living in downtown Philadelphia. Friday nights, they were meeting a different guy at a pub every Friday night. Saturday morning, they were in Starbucks at probably 11 o'clock getting their morning coffee. And everything, and all of a sudden, they're eating in houses and like, Like, bam! Like, they just wanted to get married, and they wanted to have kids. Because you know what? When they're there, and they're in that atmosphere, everything's a joke. And then they sit down and see what, you know, what reality could bring. Like, oh my goodness! Like, this is something that's real. You know, it kills me, by the way. And it killed some of these ladies that they were in such a bubble of nothing really mattered. Like, the only thing that they were told was have a career and, you know, look good and you'd be happy. And it's a pack of lies. It's such a tragedy. These were fine people. I mean, nice people, intelligent people. You know, but they were in a culture of nothing really matters. You know, and the one thing that mattered was your pedigree. Like, you know, they went to you know, Philadelphia, you have Bryn Mawr and Swarthmore and some Drexel, Temple, Penn, you know, and they went to a good college and they had a good degree and they were working and they had a suave apartment somewhere downtown and they had good clothes and that's what mattered. And that was the, you know, and they went from party to party, from job to job, and they get on the planes. And they, you know, they come in their suits, their lawyers, and their investment. People have importance. And in real life, they have nothing, because they live in an environment of levity. There's nothing. They sat there joking all day, but there's nothing meaningful. It means the culture was one that nothing makes a difference. Everything is okay. Everything is fine. You know, you laugh off anyone who takes things seriously. And unfortunately, in the world, some of the people who do things seriously are people to laugh at. So they give you good ammunition to laugh at them, but nothing really matters. And that reality, if nothing really matters, you're incorrigible. So you speak to a girl, she's 29 years old, and she's going to Penn in law school. So how do these clap girls? Right? You know, you ever get married? Well, yeah, you know, like, they don't think about it, because everything around them says, what do you need marriage for? I'll be great. One girl in my class got engaged. I said, you're going to have a kid? She said, no, I'm going to get two dogs. Like, I'm going to get two dogs. They're going to be so cute. I'm so excited about getting two dogs. So I probed her a little bit, and I saw it was hopeless. But, that didn't happen 50 years ago. She's in a culture where this is not important. You know why it's not important? Because it's all about you. It's all about now. It's not about the, you know, it's all not bad people. They're very nice people. But nothing is serious. Nothing around them makes a difference. Everything is okay. You can just enjoy and go from party to party. Now, it may not be party, you get all to the same kind of parties, but from experience to experience. The Chazal Amrus, Chok V'Kalas Rosh, Margilin Atza Adam La'erva. Being, now this is, if you are in a situation where you deal with people of the opposite gender, if you are loose in your relationship, there is a danger of that relationship being more than just platonic, married or not, interested or not. Okay, I don't need to tell you what happens in the world. We are fortunate that we have laws of seclusion, laws of propriety. You know, I sort of say, I call people that by their married name. I do it at every time. Also, there should be. I want to be. I'm a rabbi. I should be approachable to everybody. I take that very seriously, but I also take seriously that there has to be get boundaries. I think it's also very important because if it's Laffy daffy, if it's joking around, it's Margilin Le'erva. Why isn't it Margilin Le'erva? How does it lead, God forbid, to something which is improper? Because there's a comfortability in the relationship. It's not serious anymore. Right? And at the moment of weakness, it means if you take the proper boundaries, so you realize that the boundaries are serious. This person's married. This person's not my wife. This person's not my husband. You know, there's a seriousness to the relationship. It doesn't mean that it can't be open and approachable and friendly to a degree, but there's a seriousness to it. But if everything's high fives and giggly and joking, so there's a danger that the seriousness of the role of who you are and who are they are can be lost. Right? Erva, right? Acts of moral turpitude. And you know what moral turpitude is? before you take the bar exam, you gotta learn what moral turpitude is. Moral turpitude.
Other way.
Promiscuity. An act of promiscuity. You know, and even if it's not a full act, just a looseness, because it comes from that kind of relationship. It comes from that kind of being loose around the office, loose around people's friends. You know, having, this is a ladies' class, you have relationships with men, I'm assuming we're not in Bnei Brak over here, most of you have relationships, which is fine, nothing wrong with that. But if you do, if it's ever too close, there is a danger to that. Let me just tell you, I'll be frank, men are weak creatures, right? Men are the weakest. You know, you can have a happily married man, you can have a normal man, and they can end up doing things which are crazy. Women, Chazal say this, are at times foolish. And they can end up causing a man to provoke them and end up in the wrong place as well. Right? They get themselves... I actually had someone talk to me recently, a guy, about his daughter. A guy used to live near me, talking about his daughter. So she said that the girl was provoking his boy, and whatever happened. But the point is, she didn't think it would lead to this. And lo and behold, this is what happened. It starts from a looseness. It starts from a lack of seriousness in the relationship. It doesn't mean you have to be normal and friendly. But Chazal are telling us there's a danger here. Certainly immorality, certainly for someone's married, is very serious in any culture for people. A person generally has it. If you person know that this is serious stuff, you can ruin yourself, you can ruin your marriage, you can kill your kids, you can ruin yourself. Thing, but tzchok in kashos, being fun and carefree and wanting to be flirtatious and wanting to be funny, could really lead to a person to a bad result. Certainly, if you're around somebody consistently, you know, if you work with somebody, if you're in the office with somebody, there is a much greater danger of not having proper boundaries. Just like if you don't take Shabbos seriously, you end up breaking Shabbos. Everything's funny and joking on. If you don't take this boundary seriously, if everything's fun and games and pool parties, well, you're going to end up perhaps breaking boundaries. Doesn't mean you're going to person do a terrible thing, but there are breaking. Yeah, things could happen and do happen. Everything becomes looser, and what happens in certain cultures is you start hugging, and then a little bit later, it's a little bit of padding here and there, and then things happen that should never happen. A person could actually do something terrible. But we're not talking about this. The major thing we're trying to bring out is that when life is a joke, whether it's in our relationships with people, whether it's with our relationship to Hashem, it takes away yirah, takes away the reverence, takes away the seriousness for something. If you have a joke, you have a very important position. Was your husband in the army? Was Army in the army? No? How did he get out of the army? He came too old? How old was he when he came to Eretz Yisrael?
No.
Got a tour. Mashuga? Something like that. Really? We'll talk later. So if you're in the army, can you imagine, it's not a joke. Now, if you're on the army, you're facing a Lebanese border, and right now there's Hezbollah, or today you're in the Golan Heights and you see ISIS, and all of a sudden the guys start playing cards, and they're laughing and joking around. Do you want these people protecting you like that? Do you know what could happen to you if you do that? If the enemy sees you joking around like that, you don't do your job. If the surgeons are joking around as they go into surgery, you think they'll do a good job? That's dangerous. You know? And they're high-fiving, let's go! Right? You know, you don't do that in the middle of heart surgery. You don't do these things. You take your job seriously. You know, I have a cousin who's in diamonds. You think that they joke around when they cut diamonds? When they cut diamonds, they're in there. You make the wrong crack, it's thousands of dollars in certain diamonds. Right? You're cutting that, you better be darn careful to take it very seriously. It's serious. It's not a joke. You're on the front lines. You're in the army. You can't sit there joking around. You know, you're flying in the Air Force. You know, over a country, you think you're gonna be joking around. It's a serious thing. You're making a deal in a law office. I guess there's some talk, but when they're negotiating contract clauses, they're taking it seriously. Right? Because if it's important, you take it seriously. Again, we're supposed to be samech alecha, and actually, humor is a plus. But humor is a plus as long as you have a serious Weltanschauung. As long as it's within a life purpose, that what I'm doing is important. What I'm doing is important. Because if you whatever you joke around about, you can't take it seriously. You don't do a good job. If you're on the front lines, or you're a surgeon, if you're cutting diamonds, and if you're relating to Hashem, you don't take it seriously. If it's relationships, you don't take it seriously. I dealt with multiple pretty serious things in people's lives. Okay? Different strokes for different folks. I mean, if I joke around, come on, let's just... You think it's serious stuff. I as a rabbi, I sometimes say to myself, and I'm circumspect. I mean, it's serious stuff. I can... Not everyone listens to me fully, and I'm just giving advice, and usually giving hopefully Torah advice, but I think if I don't take it seriously, I can hurt someone's life very badly. You know, I've encouraged people to marry people. I've encouraged people to not marry people. That's pretty serious. I've encouraged people to live places, to deal with relations. I mean, that's serious stuff. If I'm joking around about that, I mean... Anyone. I mean, I take it seriously. Doesn't mean I can crack a joke to make it a little bit light if it's too tense, right? But if I'm doing is very serious, you know. If life is serious. By the way, all of us in this room, one thing we've got to say for is life is serious. It should be enjoyable. It should be geschmack. You know what geschmack is? I don't know what geschmack is. It's such a great. I think I said this word before. Geschmack is. Tasty, but you can't translate. It's not a good translation. Life should be great. It should be gewaldic. It should be geschmack. But it's serious, and there are consequences, as we discussed. And it's important. And what you do in this world makes a difference. It makes a difference to you. It makes a difference to your family. It makes a difference to your reality in this world, and it will make a difference for the eternal world, right? And if you don't have that appreciation of what you're doing, one can make not only terrible mistakes, but one could lose himself in the whole process because you don't take it seriously. Because it distracts you. Being a jokester distracts you from what's important. You don't let Yira Shemayim fear in your Shem and your all at all. When you come, think about Yom Kippur. Can you imagine cracking jokes in the shul and Kol Nidre or Ne'ilah? As you're in Ne'ilah, you know, you get a guy come in, a comic, you know, from the borscht belt, so he's make a bunch of jokes. And Davin Ne'ilah, you know what the borscht belt is? I was in Grossinger's, not that young. Right? So, do you know what the borscht belt? I mean, people, you know, you never hear of Yankel Mason?
Yankel?
Jackie Mason, right? All these guys, you get these people come in here, you know, make a joke here, make a joke. That's how you get to Ne'ilah. I don't think it's how you do any day, to be quite frankly, that type of stuff. But, okay, someone really needs that, whatever it may be. But you lose, there's no Yira Shamayim, there's no fear. It completely, it's not serious. It's not important. You come, you know, there's no gravitas to what you're doing. The tirik shehalotzon, mocking, when you mock somebody, when you mock people, when you're cynical, right, that's even worse. One is a demeanor. But when you proactively mock and you make fun of, That is tremendously damaging. Just like if you have a shield which is smeared with oil, it could deflect arrows, like the physics of that. It blocks Lotzon Mipnei HaToychacha V'Hamardis. Lotzon, making fun of, mocking, it stops reproach and rebuke. I once heard Rav Matisel Salman, the Mashkiach of Lakewood, once said Rav Volbo was who I had the good fortune to speak to multiple times and hear many times and to learn his works at Ali Shore. Rav Volbo was considered the big Bal Musar. Passed away, I think it was 2004, 2005. His works, Ali Shore, were all about character development and growth orientation and being a very contemporary in their nature. I did it a few years ago, other parts of it here. So Rav Volbo was once involved in a discussion. It was controversial about a certain way to do things. And he gave a drasha. He gave a shir proving his point. It was such a powerful drasha. So somebody said to Rav Volbo, what you said today, nobody could argue on. How you described how a Jew should live, nobody can even, for sure they have to believe what you're saying now. So he said, no. He said, there's one argument they could always win. I said, what's that? He said, they could say, ha, ha, ha. It means you could have Moshe Rabbeinu come into a shul. Moshe Rabbeinu could come into a shul. You can have Yeshaya. Can you imagine Yeshaya, Isaiah coming in here? Yechezkel. You ever go to Yechezkel's tomb? You ever go to Yechezkel? You were by his tomb? By his kever? Did you go to his kever, Yechezkel? They went from Iran, they used to go to his kever. Right? Not so far away. It was in Iraq, but it was close to the border. So, go to the tomb, you have Yechezkel HaNavi come here, and he can give, Rabbi Yisrael, you know what life is about? You know what you could be in this world? You could blah, blah, blah. And one guy just says, hey, I'm a shugana, a madman. What is he talking about? Ah, come on. So he takes away his fear and takes away other people's fear. You know, radical. He must be misogynist, whatever he is. Do you hear he talk to ladies? Ah, you just make a joke out of it. It could be the most valid point in the whole world, but you make a joke. You know, you have a teacher, an expert teacher. I teach now 12th grade as well, so I'm teaching 12th grade girls. You know, you could have if you have a student who wants to kill your class, what do? They make a joke, right? You could be teaching music, something great, something important, and you're right. And what does the kid do? Ah, what do you know? The teacher's crazy, funny. You know, they make a joke. That's you got right with my just makes right. I mean, isn't that? No? Yes?
Yeah.
You don't have to agree. You agree? Yeah, I mean, yeah, you have a kid. I remember as I was a teenager, decades ago, when life was still groovy. So, one of the things, I remember some of my rebbeim, you always had the class clown, and the class could be really inspiring, and it's had this guy just make this comment, like, well, you know, or ask a question, which was beyond idiotic. You know, and then the whole class goes on a tangent because it became a joke. We went from like a serious discussion, you know, to a joke. I remember I was once giving a shir. I used to give class after Kiddush here. And I used to give a class after Kiddush. And I remember giving a serious conversation was intense. One person asked like some left field curveball question. Like then, woo! Like all of a sudden the seriousness went like, it's everything. You know, when mocking, making fun of, you mock, so you could have Moshe, you could have Moses giving a class, you could have Isaiah, you could have Yechezkel. All you need to do is tell them to mock them. Did you see his beard? Yeah, he can never work in Google. What does he know? Like, who is he? What does he know? You know, or you term, this is like in politics today, I'm not picking any, both sides. The way you very often, you ad hominem attack. Doesn't make a difference. You ad hominem attack. So then their argument doesn't make a difference. You don't even hear the argument. All you do is ad hominem. You say this or that, and that takes away the whole, there's no more discussion about content anymore. It becomes a joke. Everything is a joke. Actually, we live in a world today where politics is a joke on all sides. I really believe that. It is very little substance. There's substance, but what sells is a joke about it, right? Can you imagine having Oprah versus Trump? I mean, a crazy world. Can you imagine such a Michigan adult? So people going to be running Oprah? You know, Trump? I mean, all of them. It's like you have movie stars. Well, I don't care if you like their positions or not. I mean, you know, it's like, you know, yeah, like everyone, everything has to be the one liner this way, that way. It's like, because you don't even hear the other people's conversation. You know, I was one time in a conversation with two people from Beth David, which is a conservative temple. So he started asking me about Machitza. So I'm getting a conversation. One of these guys, like, you know, this guy's kids are intermarried. You know, he's like so off the beaten chart. He says to all of a sudden, he makes this joke, oh, come on, Rabbi, you have a lot of kids. You guys want to just lock the woman up. It's like your prison. And the other guy's like cracking up. Like, you guys are, and that, like, then like, the conversation left seriousness, and then there's no conversation anymore. He's going to lock the woman up. It's like he says, you know, and the other guy's chuckling. I mean, meanwhile, I'm talking about serious matters, like, you know, in a fun way. You know, I'm friendly with these people, by the way. It wasn't like a bad conversation, but you make a joke out of it. So you use cynicism, mocking, right? Mocking can pull away a person tremendously. You become the butt of laughter. You can't take something seriously after that. And you can be inspired by a person. One person says, oh, what are you listening to this? What is this about? You know, craziness. You know, can a lotson be better chacham harmadus? Can a lotson is echa with one joke, one mocking, one small witticism? Yipo adam al ribo galam and asaris espouse. You can lose a lot of inspiration. You can lose a lot of focus and inspiration. The little prick of the balloon, and the balloon lets out its air. The person starts thinking, you know, I'm going to take this seriously, I'm going to take school seriously, I'm going to take life seriously, I'm going to take Judaism seriously. You fall to the ground. And you lose that inspiration, you lose that desire to do what you're supposed to do. Not because of the weakness of what was motivating you, of the argument and the factor motivating you. Not because you didn't understand the message. Lotzon, mockery, cynicism, it causes a person to lose all matters of character refinement, all matters of fear of Hashem. And this is what the prophet Isaiah, he screamed, he bellowed, he cried out like a crane about this. Isaiah is living in a generation, or a couple of generations, before the destruction of the first temple, of the first place. He sees that they're going on a path of destruction. Okay, of course, Yirmiyah will be there, and Yechezkel will be the generation of destruction. But he's telling them, you're going to destroy yourself. Yeah, I once had a married couple. I'm like, you know, your marriage is messing up, getting messed up. Ah, you're a rabbi, you don't know, we're so hot, blah, 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 blah. And, you don't take it seriously. It's not going to happen. People have a company. So here he's telling you're going to end up in exile. You're going to destroy the temple. Wake up. Fix, you know, Mrs. Lubyanka is not here tonight. You know, you're going to get fired from your job. You can imagine the boss tells you, shape up or ship out. And, you know, and you think it's a joke. What's going to happen to you?
You're going to ship out.
You're going to ship out. Yeah. And by the way, if you think it's a joke, you'll really ship out really quick because you're hopeless at that point. If a boss sees that you think it's a joke, then you're hopeless. You know, if you're trying and you're just taking your time, or you're not quick to learn, yesh tikva, there's hope. But if you can't take it seriously, then what's the point? It's over. Nothing to do. Nothing to work on. He says to them, he saw that his trying to motivate wasn't working, and there's no hope because they were everything was a joke. Everything they would make fun of and say, he doesn't know what he's talking about. What is he talking about? What are you seeing? So, what are you being so depressing about? Yeah, tell me I'm going to lose my job. Boss, you're so depressing. Isaiah, the base mission was destroyed. Come on, why do you have to be so harsh? Why do you have to be so, you know, so religious, so radical, you know, so... So Isaiah tells them, don't make a joke or a mockery out of it, because if you do, your punishment's going to be worse from God. Isaiah wasn't saying his own words. He was a prophet. You know what a prophet does? He says the word of God. Ko amar Hashem, so says God. He says, if you make it into a joke, you know, I have a few kids. If I, you know, and it's not a day. Actually, there's days, thank God. But there's not a week that goes by that I can say confidently that my kids don't, at least one kid doesn't have to be disciplined. It's just, you know, that's, you know, kids are born imperfect. Parents are there to discipline. You know, some of my kids are easier than others, and they all have their strengths and weaknesses, and we all do. I mean, that's, you know, and every parent's given every kid to work on. So. You know what the worst thing that my kids can do is if they don't take me seriously. That's like the worst. You know, if they don't take it seriously, then that punishment's serious. You know why? Because if it's not serious, it's going to happen again, and nothing. It doesn't make a difference. So the worst thing a kid can do is to not take me seriously. If I see a kid trying, I see a kid say sorry. I see a kid, you know, listen to me. And you know, I have two kids that historically don't like apologizing or admitting error. But I see that they listen. You know, they listen. That's something. If they're not listening, they're not getting the message. And then, quite frankly, like ourselves, like, we all have things we need to work on, right? So some things we need to hear 10,000 times. I have things I need to hear over and over. I say it to myself, but I have to hear it over and over. So it's okay. I know of certain kids that I have a 10-year game plan, because they're not going to be there tomorrow. That, in fairness to them, they were born more mischievous, more aggressive, or more lethargic, or more anger. That's their nature. They're like little kids. I mean, every kid has natures, right? It's okay that a kid needs to hear something 10,000 times, right? I don't look at my kids having to be born perfect. I wasn't born perfect. They don't need to be born perfect. I know certain of my children are going to have, some of them are very talented, and even the ones who have struggled, but some of them are going to be years till I get them in certain ways where I want to. I don't know if that tomorrow, but if it's a joke, it's not going to happen. You know, so, and on a macro, on a much greater level, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, if we're joking around, Isaiah says, you're joking around, you're going to get it over the head. Because you're missing the point of life, you're going to destroy the temple, and everything's a joke to you, and you're laughing it off. So you're gonna get even worse. It's gonna really hit you, and you know, and why? Because God is the ultimate parent. He doesn't want a person to jump off a bridge. For Gazu Chazal say Shalitz maybe a sooner love that a scoffer brings suffering upon themselves. So by the way, it's possible not to get any pain in this world, because God wants to just fry you in the next world. We're talking about here, if you get Yisurin in this world, it's for your benefit. It's to make you, you know, tonight, I'm not exaggerating, a guy comes into Shul, an Israeli, and he just left right before his class, a guy comes into Shul. I think I was here once in Yom Kippur, an Israeli guy, he lives downtown. I see him come in, sitting down, and he's like, so he tells me that he, 3 weeks ago, an Israeli friend of his died in a motorcycle crash in Houston, Texas. And he just found out today that a good friend of his in Florida died, drowned on Friday. Both in their 20s. This guy must be late 20s. And he was, he's actually had one with Yehuda Werder, so I said, let me learn a little bit of Miklos Esther. He's a mensch, by the way. I mean, people can hear that. He had to come to Beit Knesset, come to the shul. And he was shaken up. Right? Well, better to live vicariously. You know, this guy should be in shul every night. Why is it? He was, you know, he's not a bad person, by the way. know, because it's better to live vicariously. But if you're not living vicariously, God's going to say to you, if he cares about you, and if it's for your benefit, you know, if you're a coach of a team, you take the good players seriously. Musicians, right? If a teacher gives you a hard time, it's a good sign. They look at you as potential. And you push talented students. You push people who have abilities. Well, if God, if you're unimportant, God will say, I'll let you get away from this world, and you will have zero, zilch for eternity. Those grains of sand for eternity, that's a real serious punishment. But if I see some potential in you and you're taking life in cynical and mocking, I'm going to give you some patches in life. I'm going to bloody your nose. And if you don't get bloody your nose, I'm going to break some bones. That's what God says. The Gemara is saying that if you can't, you know, or Matzel Samim, you all did well by coming tonight. Mashkiach Aleik, what used to always say, in life you can learn Musar or get Musar. If you learn Musar and you improve yourself, you don't need to get Musar. Because if you don't learn Musar and you have potential, God will bring it out of you in other ways. Right? You know, let's go back to a job. You can work on yourself, you can take professional development and improve your job performance, or you can have a screaming by the boss, you're going to be fired. Right? You could work on your marriage, but you could read marriage books, or you could have a real fight. You know, and have the same thing as a parent, by the way. You can work as yourself as a parent, or you can learn. You could come to shul because you love Hashem, or God forbid, you can lose your job, or get sick, or a million other things to wake a person up spiritually, or to character development. Yes? The Mashkiach Aleik, or Matzel Salman. I think it's from the Sefer Charedim that you can learn Musar or get Musar. It's in a few places that the Kadmonim bring it down. That basically, and Rabbeinu Yonah has this idea as well, that if you're cared about, you either learn Musar and you'll make yourself better, or you will get Musar. Like a good student, a potential. Shalates, you're a scoffer. You will bring Musar upon yourself. It's actually a pasuk in Mishlei and Proverbs. Nachonu laleitzim shvatim. Afflictions are ready for scoffers. Kizeh shadavar dinaisen. Here's what judgment dictates. Kimish mispa'el, because a person who is mispa'el, a person who's motivated, this is exactly what Mashkech is saying over here. If you're motivated to improve because you're learning Musar and you're thinking about it, you don't need to do that. If you're working on yourself, if you're coming and davening and doing charity and being nice, you don't need to do it. If my kids I'm an imperfect parent. I try. I could even do better. But if my kids are doing their job and they're working and they're making effort, I'm not punishing them. But my kids, if I punish them, I love them. You know, and again, every one of my kids have different strengths and weaknesses. I know my kids, so I'll pick on what they need. You know, one, I'm not going to pick on which one, I would never say, but one kid is I have kids who would never do anything wrong, but have other areas. And we'll get a couple of kids who are like to stir the pot, and, you know, and are at the same time have unbelievable other character. But if I see that they're not doing what they could do and what they should do, and I'm not omnipotent, I'm very imperfect, but I will come down on them because they need to come down. Well, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is perfect, and he will look at us. He says, you're not working on this. I'll make you work on this. I'll make you work on this because you could be doing this and you should be doing this. If I have expectations from my kids, you bet Hashem has expectations from you. Hashem is our father. He looks and he knows us. He knows our strengths. He knows our weaknesses. He knows our potential. He knows what we can do. And you bet if we're slacking, to quote David Racco, you know, if we're slacking, he'll wake us up or he'll give us a patch, and if we don't get it, it can get worse. If we don't get it, then sometimes, you know what happens if you have a teacher? You give up on the student. Forget about it. If a teacher doesn't want to do it, enjoy. You'll pay the consequences later. There'll be a day of judgment, which is a lot more serious than anything could ever happen in this world. A lot more serious. But Hashem looks at us. You're improving. You're learning Musar works. You're working on your being kinder. You're working on being Derech Eretz. You know, I have Derech Eretz. Oh, Derech Eretz. Being a person who's respectful of others and their times and their energies. They're courteous. They say thank you. They please. They knock before they enter someone's house. All this basic Derech Eretz. They bump into someone. They say, excuse me. Right? They talk to someone, they look at their face, they don't look at their phone. Oh, it's Derech Eretz! You know, so you're working on Derech Eretz. Okay, you laws up. Actually, no one's giving you a hard time. You're working on being nice. Great, you're working on being charitable. You're a stingy person. I know people that are very wealthy, they're stingy. Stingy with their time, stingy with their money, stingy with their advice. You're stingy? I'll make you need people. You'll know what it means to need people. Hashem Baruch Hu could teach us in many ways better to work on ourselves. But God's not punishing. If I don't punish, you think I go hit my kids for no reason? I don't hit my kids very rarely anyways. But yeah, I scream my kids or, you know, fake scream. How can you do that? I have a good scene, like, that angry look. Like, right? You think I do that for fun? I'm a sadist, I hurt my kids? Chas v'shalom. Right? But I'll do it because they need it. If Hashem is going to do that to us because we need it for our benefit. We don't improve, Hashem will help us improve. But if you learn Musar, you work on yourself, you're fixing yourself anyways. God's not going to bring down the stuff on you. You're learning Musar, you're working yourself, you have thoughts of repentance. Thoughts of tshuva. I'm thinking, by the way, I have thoughts of repentance as I'm reading these words right now. I'm reminding myself what's important. When you learn Musar, when you work in your character, when you read, or you hear, or you see what happens. You see what happens to your friends. You see what happens to others. When you don't take life seriously, what happens to them? What could happen in life? When you don't take relationships seriously, you can hurt a friendship. Right? Somebody says they're upset and you laugh it off. You really could mess up. You have a leak in your house. What happens if the leak goes? You just had this, didn't you? Much harder to fix afterwards. No.
Yeah.
That's not a leak. A leak could lead to lots of problems. And you have a rainy day, and you already have a leak. You end up with a flood. You end up with serious damage. You have a leak. That could end up being a flood. You joke around. You want to tick on. You can't even. You can't learn Musar. You're not going to hear it. You're not going to go to class. You're not going to get seriously. You're not going to end up in the class. So you get the hard knocks of life, and you can react to those, or you can get even harder knocks of life. You can take marijuana and imagine everything will be okay. You know, you can take depression pills or some other narcotic. You know, again, I'm not talking about there are people who have chemical imbalances. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about we're not waking up to what we're supposed to be doing. Because you know what? When you feel vulnerable, you'll change. When you feel that something is seriously, then you can wake up in life. And you know, there are people, I know somebody, you know, a couple of people who got diabetes, and all, actually, you know, two people in the past few months told me, they got diabetes, now they eat healthy. Now you eat healthy, the rest of your life you're damaged. So now they're eating like they should have always eaten. But you know what? At least to their credit, they're not going to kill themselves. Now you smoke, you get lung cancer, emphysema, you have heart conditions. You should have stopped smoking a long time ago. But you'll end up with something, it'll wake you up, you got to stop smoking. Sometimes the damage is fixable, sometimes it's not. I'm just going to pick on myself. My kids, I should be as good as most of them. Probably all of them. I was no tzaddik as a little kid. You know, but I'll tell you, I'm a parent, I'm responsible for them. And if they really mess up, they'll really get in trouble. You know, I have a rule. My wife, who is sweet and nice, I've seen her, woo! Like, whoa! You can't even imagine, because, you know, if Gosh doesn't do it to me, I'd be in big trouble. One of my kids hits another kid, forget about it. And it is unacceptable. Like, it's immediate, and it's unequivocal, and it's, like, she is a, whoa! I mean, can you imagine my wife did that? I mean, she's like not that type, you know? But it's unequivocal. Why? Because she cares about that kid. She also cares about the kid that's hurt, because that's her kid. Don't get me wrong.
If it wasn't my kid, she'd still care.
She would still care. Yeah, if she saw, God forbid, one of my kids had another kid, she would be... But that's the point. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the worst things we do, he's going to judge us. He loves us, and he'll take us seriously. It's for our benefit. The more, the worse it is, the more serious the punishment. Our sage says, Kashalitzas, oh my goodness, this actually learned this Gemara recently. I'm learning this tractate now. It's Mesechta now. Kashalitzanis. Leitzanis is so bad because in the beginning it's Yisurin, but at the end it's destruction. You're a boss, they poison, you fire the kid, you fire the boss, you fire. You know, there's even a point where parents says it's, you know, serious punishment. You can be destroyed by your leitzanis. If you don't get the message, you will be fired. Right? You will get divorced. You will lose your job. You can ruin the relationship with your kids forever. You can lose with your parents forever. You can kill the friendship. Right? You can get sick. You smoke and laugh until you die. Until you die. You can eat yourself to death and get diabetes and die. Okay? You can not take things seriously and lose permanently. And you can literally be destroyed in the world to come because you didn't change when you had the messages from God. Right? You can be destroyed in this world or even worse in the next world. Kalia. Right? Because you didn't, everything was a joke and you mocked and you were cynical and you didn't get the message. Shenamar panichsikum So don't scoff, because if you do, your affliction can become more severe. Because I even heard of complete destruction. Right, Hashem's not going to let a person sin forever. There's not going to be consequences for her. There's a day of judgment, and that can be person's destruction. So as we saw today, number two of what could take us off that yellow brick road is a demeanor, a Weltanschauung, a Hashkafa, of levity, of joking, and even worse, being cynical and mocking. Because those things pull us away from taking life seriously, taking people seriously, taking events seriously. Next week, we'll learn the worst of them all, which could probably person Becky Lebeck Road, because even if you don't get caught up in life, in work, in business, even if you take things seriously, bad friends, bad environment can pull you off that road. Have a great night. Geschmack.
Have an easy fast.
An easy fast? Why?
I have an easy fast?
Yeah.
Better than having a hot. I didn't say not meaningful.
Just next night, we have a class before then.
What about tomorrow?
What's tomorrow?
No.